You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to the flagship. I'm your host, Zach Berry. A little special edition here. We've got a ton of recruiting coverage on the site, omspirit.com. So I figured we're going to do a special episode here, a little treat. Got a real true film junkie sicko to come on. We're going to try to figure out what the hell is going on with the Ole Miss offense. Before we do that, I do want to remind you, we are in the College Corner studio, three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. You saw the helmets last week, the Galaxy Realtree. College Corner has that. You can go get that at any of the three locations or online at collegecornerstore.com. The show is also brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. It's Medicare enrollment season, and if you're looking for a Medicare supplement plan or just a regular health insurance plan, Drew's got you covered. 601-953-8449. And you can also visit his website, quoteswithdrew.com, and get a free quote. He's been working around the clock, busy, busy season, but he's trying to ensure that his clients have the best plans for them. And finally, we are also brought to you by our good buddy Greg Jones and LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue. You got the Lane Train Special still, $10, $2 off everything in the freezer. The weather is turning a little bit. Get out there on the grill, fire it up, crack open a cold water sandwich, and fire up some protein. You got fillets, steaks. He does all kinds of chicken, duck poppers, everything you could imagine. Greg and the folks at LB's have got you covered. As we always tell you, Arby's is full of shit. LB's has got the meats. All right. Without further ado, let's bring in our buddy Michael Felder of College Sports Now, Hand in the Dirt fame. He's got a Substack. We'll tell you all about that in a moment. But first, this is a therapy session here. We gotta help these Ole Miss fans figure out what's going on.
Well, first off, man, get in there. Go listen. Speaking of having the meats, like, it's chili season. It's about to be chili season, man.
Absolutely.
And ain't nothing better than a good chili.
Dude,
I love it. So I love chili. Personally, I'll give you guys what I like to do. I like to go with a grilled steak. And then okay. I like to grind. I grind a mix between beef and pork ground up. If you can get a little lamb or a little bit of venison in there, go for that too. Get those boys working in the pot together. But yeah, I'm a chili guy. I'm a chili boy.
Got a stew going.
Yeah, man. So I like that. I like that.
Chili, soup.
Yeah.
Anything warm with a, you know, maybe if you want to get fancy and throw a grilled cheese next to it.
Oh, for sure, dude. I'm also been looking at trying to make some shepherd's pie soon.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right.
But also hit up your meat provider for that. You can do a real shepherd's pie with lamb, or you can do it with beef. You can do whatever you want. But I'm just saying, this is my favorite time of the year. My wife hates it because she really likes like summertime, blue skies, hot weather. And I'm like, no, I like the gray and like the like hearty meals, and as you mentioned, a grilled cheese. Oh, let's go.
Yeah. Especially we're not there yet. Maybe like a couple more weeks to get the fireplace going. It's nice. All right. So
let's do it.
you watch probably more film than most people I know. You are in it to win it every single week. You dive in all 22, all that stuff. The Ole Miss offense, from an amateur viewpoint, it seems to be on the surface layer, it's the offensive line, and it just affects everything. But I think it's a little bit deeper than that, so I wanted to get your thoughts. Look, you told me you had the notepad, you're ready to rock, so let's get into it. What are your opening – give me your opening statement here.
The script is always good. Mm-hmm. Script's always good. That's one thing I love about Lane. His script hits hard. Like, they score out the gate constantly, and I love that about them. And so his script is always good because he has a plan and he knows what they're going to do. The problem is the next step, which is when they adjust. I will say this. I did write, and I don't know if you're not going to be able to read this, but I did write. I wrote they suck.
Okay, that's it.
So I'm like, but then I come back and I'm like, oh, they do get it. They understand what they're doing. And I think Lane is a good teacher. I think that they adjust slower. And I'm going to say this. I think Ole Miss is in the same spot as a lot of teams struggling with the helmet communications.
Sure.
And because we see it at Ohio State as well. Mm-hmm. Where once you hit fit, you think you've got this free line of communication to your quarterback so you can get into what you think might be the perfect play. And then at 15, we watch these defenses move, which, by the way, to flip it over, Ole Miss's defense does that really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys don't have a lot of big dudes. You guys are incredibly penetrative. Like, you guys move exceptionally. Like, I love the way that Ole Miss plays defense. We see a little bit of it from Texas. We see a lot of it from Oregon as well. Like, moving late and then going to get the quarterback, creating disruption. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the offense. And realizing that the tight end is a position, maybe can we start there?
Dude, we were joking. I was like, I think Lane listened to our podcast the last 3 weeks because we've been imploring them to do it.
Yeah. Well, the thing for me, here's the thing. It's not just that the tight end can make plays. It's also, and I'm not sure how much people think about this, but a tight end changes your defensive package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you have a running back in the game and a tight end in the game, even if you go empty set, mm-hmm. nobody in the backfield, and the tight end can be flexed out, that's still 11 personnel, which leads to you having at least at minimum at maximum, you're having your nickel package in from a defensive standpoint. But most, if you have a running back and a tight end in the game, a lot of teams are usually going to go with their base personnel package. But if your base personnel package then gets flexed out, now you create seams. And that's where Lane has made his hay. Like, that's where he made things work. And I'd love to see more of that. That's very clear, right? Like,
yeah.
Flex him out, let him come back inside, let him go outside to get back inside. And now you have a void in the defense because the defense has had to move as well. And they're not as fast and they don't know where they're going. And that's the thing I think about a lot with football. Defenders don't know where they're supposed to go. Like, they know they have landmarks in zone coverage. Right. They understand they have to cover this man, but they don't know where the man's going to go. And so if you can, whether it's through motion, see if you're in zone versus man. Because in motion, the guy has to go all the way across with you. And then if you run him all the way back across and then run, if you line up trips, bring one guy inside, bring one guy across the line. Defender goes with them. Okay, so we know we got man coverage. Okay, what are we going to do? I need you two guys to get upfield. because I'm going to bring him back across and it's a full clear out. Like, that's good football. Like, that's what you're supposed to do. It puts you in a bind. And so it just, for me, it's very, like, it's not like, I think Lane is a very smart football coach. Mm-hmm. I think the comms are bogging things down from when we were using signals and their tempo stayed on top.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up motion and defensive guys not knowing where they're going, which I think is going to be a pretty big part of the game on Saturday. There's rain in the forecast for Arkansas, yeah, which Ole Miss fans will tell you every time you play in Fayetteville, it rains. that place is almost like Autzen Stadium when Ole Miss is up there. It's always just shitty weather, but that's big for the offense. The offensive guys know where they're going. Defensive guys are reacting. So if it's slick, I think that's big. And look, when people say, like, well, it's raining, you can't throw the ball. No, they got like 60 footballs on the sideline. They'll keep them dry. Sure, it's going to be wet in the air, but it's not like high school where, you know, you've got two footballs that are just.
Well, it's also, I mean, have you, I don't know, like, have you seen these gloves?
Oh, dude, that's, you can rip skin off of those things. They're so tacky. So
like, they are insane. Like, it's, the gloves are really amazing. Like, I got a chance I got a couple pairs back behind me, and like, I don't wear them. I don't play football no more. I'm 40. I can't do that. Are you kidding me? I'll die. But to just like, to feel the tack on them. When I was playing, we had just like leather gloves. Like, these are like super tackified gloves. Like, my dad touched a pair and he said it reminded him of like Lester Hayes. Like, with stick'em on them, because as long as you get your hand on the football, you can catch it. And we've seen that based on all the catches that we've seen so far. Like, a one-handed catch doesn't even move the meter anymore.
Yeah, I remember in high school when I was a senior, it was when the like cutters were big.
Yeah.
And those were not even near as tacky as these are, but like still pretty good. But you mentioned the personnel. Ole Miss came out in 12 personnel the first drive.
Yep.
Worked the tight ends.
The script.
The middle of the field. I mean, I feel like defenses have just been teeing off, bringing pressure, and we've just been, you know, hey, throw behind the blitz. The middle's, you know, just find a soft spot and sit down. They've been doing so many 5 and 7 step drops with Jackson Dart. He just doesn't have the time, and everything is sped up, right? I mean, he has the pressure, like the pressure rate numbers are very, very bad. And early in the year against lesser competition, Jackson Dart was near the top 5 in, you know, against the blitz. Now with better players, struggling. I feel like Kiffin does a good job of adjusting to personnel and adjusting play calling where he kind of knows his limitations, but feel like the last like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, it's been very conservative, and it's not like Kiffin. I've been saying he's kind of lost his edge. It seems like he's not as aggressive, and I don't know if that's the limitations with what he's got up front, or maybe, like you said, it's the communication with the helmet comms. Like, maybe that's really bogging it down. I know it's not as simple as this, but anytime Ole Miss has gone tempo this year, I feel like it's been. I mean, the first drive against Kentucky, I mean, marched right down the field.
Right.
LSU, same thing. Went tempo late in the game, like early third quarter, marched, and then got to the red zone and bogged down. So I think it's an all-encompassing issue, but it seems like the offensive line up front, they just still haven't found the right combination or put the guys in the right spots.
So it is – there's a combination situation, but I didn't mean for that to rhyme, by the way. But – I also, that's why I bring up the comms. There are guys, and that's what I know we're talking about Ole Miss, but to pivot to LSU, Brian Kelly trusts Nussmeier to make decisions. And then when I watch, there are two teams that stand out to me. When I watch Ole Miss and when I watch Ohio State. Lane Kiffin and Ryan Day like to make perfect plays.
Yeah.
And perfect plays, once that comm cuts off at 15 seconds, defense moves. Now you're like, Jackson Dart is like, I'm glad you brought up the tempo, because the tempo part to me is, we don't need to get to 15 seconds. Screw 15 seconds.
Right.
Give me a little something in my ear. And I say this as someone who's worked in television for a long time, who's had producers in their ear.
Yeah.
It's, I can't imagine being, how old is Dart? Is he 22 at this point?
21.
21? Yeah, 22.
He's up there.
So what he's up there for a college football player, but
yeah,
I've worked with Micah Parsons. I've worked with CJ Stroud. I've worked with these guys. They take out their IFB.
Yeah.
They don't even want an IFB. Because they can't talk and hear.
Right.
They can't talk and hear. And if you're the quarterback, and that's something I really like. I think Nussmeier I think he's been in a different world where he can understand how to listen and mm-hmm. talk at the same time. But it's hard. It's really hard to do. Like right. if you and I were doing this like in a studio and a producer was in our ears, I think we could do it. I know I can do it because I've done it before where they're like, hey man, we've got 10 to break and we have to do this and blah, blah, blah. Like they're going through that same exact thing. And I think that they're having a hard time. I think Dart's having a hard time doing that. And Lane is also, that offensive staff, they're going back and forth and what should we do? Because they're trying to get into the perfect play. We see the same thing with Ohio State with Will Howard. Will Howard is a fifth-year senior. Uh-huh. Coming over from Kansas State, and he still can't, like, this is a guy that can't realize I shouldn't run when we have no time on the clock. I should probably throw the ball out of bounds and then get to our last play.
Right.
But it's just one of those things.
Nico did it against Arkansas.
Yeah, Nico did it. Yes, Nico did it against Arkansas as well. And I give him a little space and a little grace because he's 19 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, he's only – that was his, like, eighth college football game and his like fifth start or whatever it was, but it just is one of those things where you're like, it's hard to do that. Uh-huh. And obviously but I was listening to Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, and obviously those guys are on another level.
Yeah. But
they both are very frustrated with how coaches and teams try to make perfect plays.
Uh-huh.
They want to control everything instead of letting the quarterback make the decisions. And I think that's the difference that we're seeing between Nuss and Dart is Lane still wants to be kind of in control. And that's the part that's going to be really interesting to see, like, for his development, for his – speaking of Jackson Dart, his development for when things get hard. And as you mentioned, I think they should go tempo all the time.
Yeah.
If that's going to be your brand, go tempo all the time. Have a bag of plays and, like, spend the week on plays. And we know what we have, and we know the adjustments and side adjusts from the wide receivers. And when they do those things, they look really good.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, what is Ole Miss right now offensively? They're number two. Are they number two? They're top five in the country for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's been weird. I mean, looking at like Bill Connelly's SP plus numbers, Ole Miss is number three overall.
Right.
And top five in offense. I'm pretty sure they're top five, at least top 10 in defense.
Yeah. So, I love their defense. We haven't, we'll talk about that. But yes, yes. It's let them cook. Let them cook every time. And you mentioned getting into the red zone, and then you're like, everything, we slow it down.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Red zone is the place you should never slow it down, in my opinion, because the red zone is this condensed box where one guy can cover two routes.
Uh-huh.
You have to make smart decisions there. And they should run more of their two-point plays in game scenarios instead of holding on to them. I truly believe. I think that for every team, though. Like, I think you spend this part of practice, and you've been to practice, I've been to practices, you have this two-point play period. Mm-hmm. And these are like inventive plays and like plays that are like, no one was ready for this. But they never use them. I think more teams should use them. And I think we are starting to see more teams use them. But you got to do something because it's very – you can't sit on your hands, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So looking at it here, I just pulled up, you know, NCAA, which, you know, not the best thing because it's all the games combined. But
sure.
Whatever. Total offense, Ole Miss is number two in the country behind Miami.
Yep.
7.5 yards a play, over 530 yards per game. Passing offense, fourth in the country. And then as far as rushing offense, which has been the struggle, but I know that that's something that drives Lane nuts because he loves to dictate pace with the run game.
Sure.
I mean, I'm having to scroll a good bit here. They're not even in the top 50 in rushing offense, which drives him nuts because, you know, a couple years ago, Ole Miss ran the ball like a service academy. And that's the thing that's really baffled me because that year, it wasn't like the offensive line was great. They just got super creative with how they, you know, extensions of the run game, you know, jet motion, stuff like that, quick pop passes, which don't count as run plays, but like that's an extension.
They are.
Not in the stat sheet, but like bubble screens, quick stuff like that. We haven't seen them use it like they did a couple years ago. And yeah, I mean, I think there are several factors here. The helmet comm thing, I think, is big because look, they've never done, none of these players have ever done it.
Right. That's why I was trying to like equate it to like being on television or working in radio or whatever. Like if you haven't done that and you're not used to, you think about it. What is the play clock's what? 40?
Yeah. 40. Yeah. Ready to play whistle 40 seconds.
So you're listening to somebody and you have to give all that information out to everyone. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not making light of it. Like my wife, she's watched me like do shows and she's like, how do you know that there's 10 seconds ago? I was like, he told me. She goes, so you kept talking knowing there's 10 seconds and you count 10 seconds in your head while you're still talking. And then you wrap the show up right on time. And I was like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. And for these guys, they are like, for me, it's easy. I'm in my office, yeah. Right? Like nobody's, there's not a 275 pound guy coming to try to hurt me.
Right.
And I think the biggest thing for me, I just pulled it up too. 84th in red zone touchdown percentage.
Yeah, it's bad.
But we talked about it. When they get to the red zone, things slow down.
Yeah.
When you slow down, it gives the defense, and I say this as a defensive guy, when you slow down, it gives the defense an opportunity to really look, to really see what's going on. So you're not catching them off guard. And I think that's the part for me. So they have to pick one of two things and they have to figure out who they are. You have to figure out, are we a team that just scores from distance? And we have seen teams like that. We've seen, I think about Oklahoma, God, was that 2018 maybe? Or 2017 Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield? Their third down conversions were abysmal. Their red zone percentage was, you know, not anything to shoot home about, but they always scored from distance.
Yeah.
Like they weren't worried about it. So you're either going to be a team that scores from distance or you're going to be a team that's able to put the ball in the end zone when it gets there. By the way, I love this Pegues kid. I love him. I will say that. I do. I wanted to give that like an inst, like he is one of my favorite players in college football. So, but
that's almost bad because Kiffin loves utilizing him. And I've had coaches tell me on the staff that he's probably the best athlete on the team. Mm-hmm. So maybe against Oklahoma, he used him in like fourth and three, and that's too much.
That's too much. Yes, I agree with that. Let's run a play. Let's run a real play. That's where I go back to those two-point plays. Let's run a play. Give me some motion. give me some misdirection, and let's go make a play.
Yeah.
We need it. You're my quarterback. Jack, you're my quarterback.
Right.
Let's go do something.
Yeah, I'm curious because, okay, we were talking before we hit record, but let's get into it. So first half against Oklahoma, I mean, it was almost like Kiffin was using the coach suggestion playbook on NCAA. Like, no creativity, very basic, outside of the first drive, where, right, what do you know, they almost drives down, scores right away.
Yeah.
And then you're down 14-10 at the half. And at this point, I mean, you know, it's win or you're done if you want to get to the playoff.
Exactly.
They flip a switch. Second half, we saw far more creativity.
Yep.
I mean, the fake bubble scene to Priest Corn to score coming out of the half.
Dude, come on.
I mean, that's probably the best throw Dart's made all year. And he had – people haven't talked about it enough because it was such an ugly game. Probably Dart's best game of his career. 22 of 30, 300 yards. But yeah, it was just, it looked.
But Caden looked good too. Like, give him the ball more.
Yeah.
At this point, he's earned it, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were running wheel routes with him in the Peach Bowl against Penn State. I mean,
the scramble drill. Hang on, let me see. What one was that? Third quarter, the 701, the scramble drill. I thought it was a wheel. And then I realized that was a scramble drill where Dart points. And bang, let's go. I'm getting upfield. That's good. Yeah. That's good football.
The Flagship is brought to you each and every day by our good friends at LB's Meat Market. Located at 2008 University Avenue, Suite E in Oxford, Mississippi, they have the best meat in town. You need to grill out. You need to do something inside. You need to throw something in the oven. You need to put something in the crock pot. LB's Meat Market has got you covered. $10 lane train specials are still the thing every single day, and you get $2 off anything in the freezer. And now, for the first time, you can text LB's if you want to place an order for pickup. That's 662-259-2999. Give Greg and the folks a call if you have any questions, or shoot them a text if you want to go ahead and place that order for pickup. Football, baseball, basketball, LB's has got you covered. Look, we all know that Arby's, they say a lot of things, but deep down, we all know LB's has got the meats. What are the most frequently asked questions about real estate, and how do you sort it all out? Just like every other situation, you consult with a professional in the field. Stacy and Rick Berry with the Berry Home Team and Keller Williams Realty can help you make sense of it all. From interest rates, when to buy, should you wait, what type of loan is best for you, what do all of these new real estate rules even mean, and how will it affect you? As top producers in the Memphis and metro area, Stacy and Rick will be by your side through the process, whether you were buying, selling, or investing. Give them a call today and ask all the questions. 901-481-6420. That's the Berry Home Team. Keller Williams Realty.
Let's talk about something that was founded by guys who know a little something about hard work. 5-9 Whiskey. The crew over at Troll Company decided to whip up a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. So, Ole Miss fan, meet 5-9. Two oil fill guys figured why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on. I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about that name? 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., but they're wanting you to forget about that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and toll. They work hard, and now they're pouring the same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Seriously, help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. So cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's 59whiskey.com. FIVENINEWhiskey.com. And use the promo code CHAMPIONS20. That's CHAMPIONS20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up. It's 59 Whiskey, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions.
Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I've focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. Can you feel it? The holiday season is here. It's in the air. Uncommon Goods is your one-stop shop for incredible, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Never panic about finding the perfect gift again, because Uncommon Goods scours the globe for the remarkable. My daughters, for example, love mix and match games. Find My Behind, a hilarious twist on a classic game in under $20, has already brought joy to our home. I want the same for you. The Garretts have caught the pickleball itch. The indoor-outdoor light-up set from Uncommon Goods has been perfect for fun, spirited game nights at home. But it's not just for kids, and even better, you're supporting local artists and small independent businesses when you support Uncommon Goods. They even give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. Shopping legitimately doesn't get any better than this. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer with Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary.
A lot of it, too, with Trey Harris, who didn't play, might give it a go this week. I think they might hold him out until Georgia. It's always just been, all right, we're going to look, find where nine is, and if he's not there, you know, shit, what do we do? Like, it's if he, right. And I think it's twofold, depending on him a lot, because he's really good, but then also doesn't have a lot of time to go through progressions. So,
right, because he's under duress.
Yeah, holding on the ball too long. I also think there's some weird thing where Dart won't take off and run like he used to. I don't know what that's about, but yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. But to me, I think Kiffin's just got to kind of get back to his old self and just relax.
There's inventive play calling. We've already hit on the perfect play stuff, which I don't mind. I'll pull no punches on that. I think it handicaps quarterbacks. It also doesn't empower them. It's, you know what? Handicap's the wrong word. It doesn't empower quarterbacks to see what they see and make their own decisions. And right now, I was talking to Mike Golic Jr. on Friday, and he said the offenses should be more empowered because they have, you've got your tablets on the sidelines. And so you should be more empowered to do stuff. And I just think I go back, and again, obviously this is like a crazy comparison, but I go back to Peyton Manning. You remember when we used to look at those little like photos from the little printer on the sideline, and he's like, okay, this is what's happening. Okay. Then he goes out and does it. Like, I do think about how we teach football, and you're a parent, I'm a parent. I've got two parents that were teachers, and I'm not trying to go all the way around my ass to get to my elbow, but the point I'm trying to make here is when we make it easier for guys, when things get hard, especially with the comms under 15 seconds, when they can't talk to you, I think that we are doing them a disservice. And so I do think that the big key for me, and we've seen it out of a lot, we've seen several teams, not retro it, but like teams going back to signals.
Yeah.
And like, we've seen that, right? Like, we've seen multiple teams go back to signals, and the signals are like, you know what we can do. And we're also watching it on the other side because of the comms. I mean, I saw Carson Beck get down on a knee and listen.
They could hear.
In the huddle. And then you huddled. I was like, when? Who? Teams don't huddle anymore.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing both sides of it. Some teams are like, we don't need to do – we will do comms, but we're still going to do signals. Other teams are like, we're doing comms and huddle up around us. I've seen Ole Miss huddle.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where, like, I tell you what to do, then you tell them what to do. And then as soon as the picture changes, when those safeties kick and mix or that defensive line shifts over two gaps and mugs up a linebacker, now all of a sudden you're like, well, this isn't the same thing as before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the part where I think tempo can be a really, really big it can be a really big game changer. I also, just for the record, I am a Lane Kiffin fan. I also think that I'm not going to call him a genius. I think he's a very bright man. And I do think he is looking at the schedule and thinking, how do I get to where I want to be?
Yeah.
Like that's, if I'm an Ole Miss fan, that's my sort of kind of saving grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think he's, I think he knows that they can beat Arkansas. No problem. I think he's looking at Georgia like, I'm, because the biggest thing for me, and this goes all the way back to when he was at Tennessee and that game they had against Alabama, obviously, when you go to USC, because this is a guy, like, I'm not a music guy,
mm-hmm.
but I've studied his whole catalog.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that's going to show you a bunch of stuff because he knows. And that's what I think about. It bit him in the butt against LSU, obviously.
Yeah.
He got out of there against Oklahoma. We will see some wild stuff against Arkansas. I'm sure we will. And he knows this is because he is playing this guy's playing chess. He is making sure that Kirby Smart has to work on a ton of personnel packages, a ton of formations, a ton of different play calls, a ton of things versus zone versus man. And I think he is building up to this, and we'll see what happens. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the idiot. But after watching him play, geez, the USC-Hawaii game, when he still didn't know who his quarterback was going to be, I was watching that, and I'm like, oh, he's just doing stuff to screw around with everybody else. And I guess what? We're talking about a guy who's the son of a defensive coordinator. He knows what defensive guys don't like.
Right.
He knows that defensive guys don't want to have to work on all this stuff all the time. He knows that an offense that's built, you know, like I'm in my mind, to go back to like to think about Monty Kiffin, he knows his dad didn't want to have to deal with like the St. Louis Rams.
Mm-hmm.
His dad wanted to deal with the team he coached, which was the Bucks, but his dad wanted to deal with the Ravens, the Steelers, something that's easy. So you make it hard and you show them something that they have to pay attention to. And I'm not giving them full like carte blanche to do that, especially if it costs you a game or you lose a game, but absolutely. I think that's still in his back pocket. So that's something I think about a lot when I watch him compared to like Kirby Smart. They only do stuff when they need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the thing. I don't think I think we should talk about that more in football. There are different types of coaches. Lane is a coach that wants to make you have to overplan for a game. And I'm sure you've done plenty of interviews, right, where you've over-prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're sweating, like, over the day before, and you're worried, and then they ask you, like, three questions, and then you're like, what about all this other stuff? But that's what Lane is trying to get Kirby to do. He knows where his bread's buttered. Tempo, all that. So I'm still optimistic about this team. I'll tell you what, I feel – way better about them than I feel about Mizzou.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to ask you this because you mentioned the helmet comms, and you can see now on the sideline. I mean, Ole Miss is putting up the sheets. Yeah. They're doing signals.
Yeah.
But still utilizing the helmet comms. But I noticed in the Oklahoma game, Kiffin was – they were huddling, mm-hmm. and he was waiting until under 15 seconds on the play clock
to go to signals.
To get to the line so the defense can adjust.
Yeah. It's that's the thing. Like, that's this chess match that we're talking about. You have to do something. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to rely on the helmet comms and you go to the – like, I think that's a good way to do it. The huddle with the comms to get it out, to make sure everybody understands what they're supposed to do, and then you hit it to the line of scrimmage and go, which is what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing a lot of, though, are – and this is not Ole Miss specific – and this is, it was earlier in the season, it was helmet comms, not huddling, helmet comms, you. And then the defense moves at 15, and then all of a sudden you're like, So I think this is a good blend of it, and I think this is probably what we're going to end up seeing more teams do, teams that aren't reliant on tempo. But I do think the signals are super, important because – it helps you put things in space. It helps you put things in place. It helps you adjust on the fly and helps you keep going. But I also just think we gotta equip our youth better for handling their situations out in the wild. And that's a game is out in the wild.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a linebacker or a safety that can adjust things on the fly, or a quarterback, or, I mean, hell, I don't know how much Penn State you've watched, but a tight end that can adjust things on the fly, like somebody's got to be in control, and that somebody's got to be between the chalk. And that's the part that's the most interesting thing for me. And watching Georgia, I know you guys played, what is it, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
2 weeks, right. Watching Georgia, they still didn't know what to do with – what was his name? What's my man's name for Georgia? It's not Michael Williams. It's the other – hang on. I got it right here. Is it Raylan Wilson? Is that the guy? Jalen Walker. Jalen Walker.
Yeah.
Jalen Walker. They thought he was going to be an inside linebacker. Turns out he's better on the edge. But he still knows the whole defense. And so watching him play, he's directing traffic while still getting ready to rush off the edge. And you got to have a guy like that. You got to have someone who knows. When I was at UNC, we had Tommy Richardson who directed traffic. We had Doug Justice directed traffic. We had Dexter Reed direct traffic. And I don't need any of your supporters and your listeners to send me the video of Dexter Reed getting destroyed by Greg Jones. I've seen it before. I saw it in person. That was my first ever college football game. I'm standing on the sidelines. This guy is like our best player, and Greg Jones pops his top, and it's just like, yes, I know. I know all about it, okay? But those guys directed the traffic for us. And so you got to have someone direct traffic, and they got to be able to direct traffic without having the coach in their ear.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a delicate dance of – simplifying it for your players because it's never been utilized, but also it is a useful tool.
It is, absolutely.
Because I do think the actual premise behind the idea was, hey, we'll have it so coaches can tell quarterbacks, like, you know, hey, that safety's walking down, keep an eye on him. Or,
right,
hey, like, let's see if they're, you know, one high, two high, we'll check to this. But now I think a lot of teams are just really overloading quarterbacks with too much stuff in the ear. I am curious to see how many people actually still use it moving forward, especially on offense. Because I think defensively, like you said, you're having to react. So I think you're probably using it more on defense, using it more as in like giving them more information.
I asked that same question. I was talking to Golic and Gold Jr. And he's like, it helps the offense a lot because you can do this, but when they move now, all of a sudden you can't do anything. He said the tablets help more. The tablets are, for both sides of the ball, actually, the tablets are humongous. And the idea that, I mean, just to go back a few years ago, like Clemson had guys that were, their social media team was using like laptops to edit videos and people lost their minds. And now we have tablets actually on the sidelines.
Yeah.
That are, and I want to get the feed, dude. I want the feed that they get. That's what I want. Because
I would love, maybe that's an NIL thing. You pay a certain amount. There's a tier that you sign up for and you can hear the helmet.
I don't even want to hear the comp. I just want to get the feed, the game feed of the all 22 and just get that feed. I just want to see what they're seeing. So I can see how they're seeing it, mm-hmm. because there's something different about all 22 that just goes, like you see creep, you see this, like all this little stuff, like, and creep is like when a safety comes up, like he creeps up. Everybody calls it something different, but a safety creeping up for a blitz and you're just like, yo, this guy, we know he's coming. He's still 10 yards out. But he moved from 15 to 10, and the quarterback isn't paying attention to it because the quarterback's trying to talk to the center or talk to the wide receiver. He's calling for motion. He's already moved 5 yards up, and he's going to be at full speed when he's about 4 yards off the ball, and nobody's going to be able to adjust to him. And, like, they get to see that, and it's not just a picture. Like we were talking about Peyton Manning getting. They're right. Seeing, like, the play of, oh, that's what this looks like. I need to look for this another time. It's really cool.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned you want to see more tempo.
Yes.
I agree, especially the red zone. I think that's big that you mentioned that. I mean, there's no reason to slow down in the red zone. Just keep going. But
yeah,
if you had to, you know, let's say you're in the hotel on Friday night before Ole Miss plays Arkansas. If you're up there with the mic talking to the offense, what's your message to them?
We practice this shit all week, dog. You guys know this. We practice this all week. What do we know about them? What do we know? We know we're faster than them. We know we can go quicker than them. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out there and we're going to go fast from the first snap to the last snap. We're going to go fast. And by fast, I mean, we're not waiting until 15 seconds. I will let you know what we're going to do. Remember our signals. And guess what? You're in charge, Jackson. You are in charge. This is your offense. Make sure everybody's on the straight and narrow. Make sure everybody knows what they're doing. And let's go from there. Who do you trust? And I want him to stand up and say, tell me who he trusts. Tell me the guys that you trust. And I want him to say that he trusts everybody in this room. I came in here with you. I'm leaving here with you. We're going to do this together. Let's go make plays. Let's go ball out. Let's go do our thing. Let's ride. And then we walk out to the bus to go see a movie, probably. That was my favorite part of traveling. I knew I wasn't going to get in the game. So the movie was my main thing.
All right. hell, this might.
Oh, shit. I lied to my kid. I just realized. I told her I only saw 3 movies when I was in college, but I didn't count any of the movies that I saw when I traveled.
What were the 3 you saw when you didn't travel?
When I didn't travel, I saw The Notebook with my college girlfriend and her sister and her mother. So there's just 3 ladies crying on me in the movie theater.
Yeah.
I saw 300 when I was going through a breakup. My buddy took me to go see 300. And then me and a mixture of baseball players and football players went and saw Borat. Those 3. But I saw Saw when I traveled, and there are like football players, guys that played in the NFL that had to leave the theater because they were terrified. And then we went out and beat Miami the next day.
There you go. The one that comes to mind, I remember taking a girl on a date to go see Ghost Rider.
Oh, wow. That's
we left like an hour into it. Tough scene.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
Yeah. I was going to say, going through your bona fides here before we head out, mm-hmm. your Twitter bio might ring more true now than ever. You have in your Twitter bio, it don't take 4 hours to play 60 minutes.
Yeah, man.
Dude, what are we going to do about these TV timeouts?
I don't know. And it's the thing that I learned when I got I was at UNC from 03, the 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006 season. So those four seasons. The first thing I learned in my first game, again, the game that Dexter got his top pop, find the red hat.
Yep.
So I find the red hat. That's the only thing that I looked for the as soon as we came out on the field. And it's not just TV timeouts. It's reviews. Have you seen the, like, why is there a camera in the, why is there a camera in the central review station? Like, why is there a camera in Charlotte?
I don't know.
I don't like, and none of them look like they care at all anyways.
No. And it's like, we don't need to review everything. And then there's so many.
That's all they do is review everything. And it feels like they're stealing TV timeouts, especially if a game is progressing quickly. They're like, I'll review that one. Okay, we'll review that one. And why? We saw it. But then how do you get things wrong on review?
And then you've got just the different television networks and the speed. On Saturday, Michael, Ole Miss was kicking off the second half. Indiana and Washington started at the same time, and we're in the fourth quarter.
Yep. Yeah, as someone who has, I have two games on one screen, two games on another screen, and then another, my iPad also. So five games. I am making notes of time. I notice how long things take. And obviously, yes, there are injuries that do take time, and we have to deal with that. There are also weather delays, and we have to worry about that. You have to factor those things in. But the reality for me is, and I do appreciate that we are seeing like halftime counters now.
Yeah.
Which I do. I appreciate the halftime counters. I also appreciate the little at the bottom line. The start of this game has been pushed back, you know, 8 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is, because this game's running long. I understand that. When I was in college, all we wanted was 1 o'clock kicks, because a 1 o'clock kick meant the game wasn't on television. Game not on television means you're out of there in a tight two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're gold. But now every game is on television. Every game's on television, which is great. It's great for the kids. It's great for them to get to be on television. It's great for parents to get to watch their kids. It's great for family members that maybe don't even live in the same state or in the same area that can't go to the game. They get to watch the game. I think that's fantastic. I love that. Mm-hmm. But what we are watching is this like humongous. We're watching the NFL tighten things up, and we're watching college elongate.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's going to take for people to realize like the game should not take this long to play, especially if you go to overtime. Now all of a sudden we're here.
Yeah.
So I'm not, and everyone would be like, well, you don't like football. No, I like football. I love football. Football is how you see this? It's a house. I have it. For football. But the thing for me is, 60 minutes is 60 minutes.
Yeah.
Like stretching 60 minutes into 4 hours doesn't give you more football.
No.
And I've come all the way back around the globe on tempo. I didn't really like it early, and that was just coming as a defensive guy and trying to figure things out. But I was like, yeah, but the game, the incomplete pass, incomplete pass, incomplete pass. And maybe I was kind of beaten over the head with a stick by Larry Fedora having 90-second three and outs.
Yeah.
But tempo works, especially with the new rules. Tempo can work now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because between the new rules where the clock still goes, helmet comms, and you run the play before that 15-second number, so you can freeze that defense and you're in charge, you still get to dictate. I think tempo is important. I think that it can shorten games. It can also help move things along, but it also gives you an opportunity to create plays down the field, to push the ball down the field. And I think we've seen that the two teams, and obviously they played each other, but Ohio State and Oregon.
Yeah.
Both of them running plays with like 24 seconds on the clock, and on the play clock is what I'm talking about. 24 seconds on that in 20 or 18. Defense is still not ready. So all of a sudden you see guys looking at the sideline while you're snapping the football and you go. And that's what I, to go back to your question about what I would tell Ole Miss, let's go. Let's get lined up and let's run.
Yeah.
They have, again, I mentioned they're not the biggest team from a defensive line standpoint, but they have them and Louisville and Oregon are the third, Cincinnati as well. I throw them in that camp too. Different levels of how good they are. But I want folks that are listening to this to go out and look at how high cut these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
They got a bunch of high cut guys. And by high cut, I mean, what is my mom? Short-waisted. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like they got their torsos are shorter than their leg. Like they got long legs, short torsos, and they run. And just go out and run, man. Go out and run. Like there's a reason why we get to see every single one of these players mid-drifts.
Yeah.
So go out and run. Like I'd add that to the speech. Go out and run.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Keep it simple. all right. You can find Michael Felder on Twitter at In the Bleachers. Check him out. College Sports Now every Friday. Hand in the Dirt every Wednesday. And check out the Substack. It's felder.substack.com. We appreciate it, man. This was a lot of fun. If Ole Miss can do this thing and keep winning, we'll have you back on, because that would probably mean the offense was doing some things a lot more efficiently. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe Lane's listening to this episode too. So we appreciate you coming on. Appreciate College Corner. Appreciate Drew Moak, USA Benefits Group, LB's Meat Market, and the rest of the sponsors. We'll be back with more podcasts this week. We've got Hit That Line, Talk of Champions, more coming to you. For Michael Felder over there, I'm Zach Berry. Appreciate it. Till next time, we out of here.